Across the country, folks are listening to A Nerd? Yep, helping you make sense of technology. Here's Benjamin Rockwell with Computer Talk Radio.
I have so many different things. Christopher asks, are extended warranty plans worth it? Fred, will space travel become more accessible to common man? And Christopher asks about tech to learn to go to the next level. Marty's going to do a review on the Horrell knife sharpener. I'm going to do a review on something called cord brick and desk brick, two items that are related to each other. We've got the scam series, which is the safe bank account scam. Oh, yeah, that's a creepy one. Keith is going to defend the idea of Apple locking people out of AI. Steve Geske is going to talk about cyber warfare and how it's building up. And on the IT Pro series, I'm going to give you the journey of an IT professional, and that would be me. And that's all on this week's Computer Talk Radio. If you miss any of these items, please do go to the podcast. It's at ComputerTalkRadio.com, ComputerTalkRadio.com. The phone number, by the way, 888-NERD-888. That's 888-637-3888. If I don't answer, leave a message. I will get back with you. I will talk about all of these different things and so much more. It's technology and how it impacts you. So by all means, please feel free to discuss any of that. So let's dive in on this week's news. And, you know, it wasn't going to be long before this happened with artificial intelligence and the ability to plug voices. Al Michaels, his voice has been associated with sports, get this, since 1971, and he is going to be delivering custom 2024 Olympic Daily updates. Well, he isn't. His voice is. These are going to be customized for the listeners. You're going to sign up, and you get to choose three different sports, and the total automation and artificial intelligence will sort out the right things and deliver what they expect to be over 7 million audio clips over the course of 2 weeks, all with that one voice that covered the Miracle on Ice. Yeah, the big, huge battle between Russia and the United States in hockey. The Game 3 of the 1989 World Series where they had the earthquake and countless Sunday night football, Monday night football for decades. Now, the broadcasting teams and all of the people that are involved with this, they know it's not going to be perfect, but they say it's almost all there. It's going to be very interesting to me to hear the final product. I'm a little skeptical that it's going to be fully realistic, but, you know, it could be something interesting, at least, you know, after all of we've heard with various stars on our Amazon Alexa devices. Now, here's a name we haven't talked about in a few years, Julian Assange. Yes, he appears to have worked out a plea deal for a conspiracy charge and what amounts to time served in a British prison for 5 years. Now, this potentially ends his legal saga and allows him to go to or return to Australia. This marks the end of this big, huge battle that's been going on since the Obama administration. Now, the charges do stem from his role in publishing classified United States information back then. Now, this is a significant twist in a story that began with that major set of disclosures. So it also remains to be seen what the broader implications will be on national security, on press freedom, and the whole idea of whistleblowers. This is going to be a very interesting thing to continue to watch, even though it's been kind of simmering for all of these years. Now, this past Monday, there was a tragedy that struck near Seoul, Korea, as a fire which sparked by exploding lithium batteries swept through a factory and it claimed the lives of 22 workers, mostly migrants from China, then went over to South Korea. Now, the incident occurred during a routine examination and packaging of batteries, and it left 8 others injured, some of them critically. So this is kind of a big thing here. Now, investigations are underway to determine the exact cause of the blaze and assess the safety measures that are going on at the factory. Now, lithium batteries are already very famous for creating massive and nearly unstoppable fire due to the very nature of the contents. Every time you hear about a Tesla catching on fire and they say, okay, we're going to just let it burn for the next day and a half to 2 days, whatever it is, you know, that's lithium batteries that are involved there. Now, South Korea is already known for taking a less than stellar approach to safety, especially worker safety, which is because they drive economics and convenience as far more important factors than the workers themselves. That's a little disturbing. And NASA, now they're planning ahead for the demise of the International Space Station. What? Yes. The International Space Station has to come down at some point in time. They have to get rid of it. And 2030 is the year that they've pegged for this. Now, they've awarded SpaceX a contract to build a special spacecraft called the U.S. Deorbit Vehicle. How much? $843 million. Now, this fancy new ship is going to have to go up there. It's going to link up to the space station in 2029, and it's going to sit there for about a year. After that, it's going to bring the entire International Space Station back down to Earth, probably again in 2030. Why? Well, the station's getting old, and there are cracks showing up, and they realize that the ongoing maintenance is eventually going to become too much for them to just continue to maintain it. So they're going to pave the way for new commercial space ventures up in space. Yes. Now, they're aiming for a smooth transition out of the low Earth orbit and, yes, into our oceans. It's a big project. The ISS is 450 tons. It's the size of a football field. So, yeah, bringing it down safely, having it burn up a little bit and just splash down into the oceans is really important. And SpaceX, I'll tell you, if anybody out there is going to know how to bring stuff down safely, I'm putting my money on SpaceX, especially with Boeing's constant issues, the problems that they've been having with their Starliner. I mean, right now, yeah, there's a lot of drama. Oh, it's stuck in space. No, it's not, but there's still drama there. Kaspersky, they're a security software, and they've been around for a long time. And the United States Department of Commerce has made a very bold move. They decided to ban all Kaspersky security software in the United States. Not just government, but yes, individual use as well. Effective immediately, this ban extends to sales and usage of the products with a final cutoff for security updates on September 29th. This is right around 100 days from decision to demise. This comes through after a thorough review by the Department of Commerce, where they cited significant national security risks posed by Kaspersky's ties to the Russian Federation. The Bureau of Industry and Security emphasized concerns over potential data theft, espionage, and security vulnerabilities that could impact our critical infrastructure. Now, Kaspersky has long denied any threat to our security, and they are planning to challenge the ban. However, it looks like it's a done deal, and anybody who's using it right now needs to find an alternative real quick. We got a couple of quick shots here, too. If you're with AT&T, well, AT&T is planning to raise prices if you're on an older unlimited plan, and they're going to add some data benefits in the process. But while these feature add-ons may seem beneficial and kind of a balance in this, it really underscores an ongoing trend of carriers pushing their users towards newer technologies like 5G and punishing those who don't fall in line. Amazon Prime Day, July 16 and 17th. Yes, days, whatever. They call it Prime Day. 16th and 17th of July, just a few weeks out. Kicking off more deals and, admittedly, non-deals, just as they do every year around this time. One more. MTV. MTV.com is all but dead. It's now been converted to another face for Paramount's streaming service with no more of the news and information that they had for years. Coming up next, will space travel become more accessible to the common man? Here on Computer Talk Radio.
Let's talk about on and off.
You mean like light switches?
Yeah, the original user interface device.
And you were there, right?
Hey, I'm not that old.
Yeah, you are. So on and off.
Yeah, only with no humans doing it, like...
Going down.
But you and I both have our computers on CyberPower UPS systems.
Yeah, so we have power, but there's another on and off.
Oh, right. Online and offline.
You got it. Meaning another UPS at the cable modem and VoIP phone and Wi-Fi router.
And even a low-cost standby UPS can handle those. Better, of course, if it has AVR.
Right, so it doesn't have to hit the battery just because the line voltage drops.
Maybe it's a good time to mention the promo that saves $10 to $15. Details are at the CyberPower website.
And maybe you could put it on your website?
Oh, that's already done at ComputerTalkRadio.com.
You know, on and off. You take really good care of your listeners.
Fred is a dreamer. He has a wonderful question. I'll get to that here in a moment. The website, ComputerTalkRadio.com, ComputerTalkRadio.com. That's how Fred reached out to me. He scrolled down to where it says contact us today, and he asked his question. Will space travel become more accessible to the general public, and what technological advancements will make this possible? I'm going to tell you that I can only speak in generalities. Look, I am a computer nerd and I'm a technology specialist, and I've got a lot of this different information going on. I'm not in the space industry, but I have followed it all the way along since I was a kid. We have predicted space travel for the common man since before man stepped on the moon, before I was born. It was books, you know, there were many books that I read growing up that were very, very much dreamers like Fred is, thinking about how cool it would be. And they didn't think about all of the different things that we would have to overcome. And there are things we are going to have to overcome that we don't know how to solve the problem that comes before the problem that comes before the problem that comes before the problem that we have to solve now. Wait, did I say that right? I'm not even sure. There are all kinds of problems that we have to solve before we solve the next problem and the next problem and the next problem before we get there. That's how I'm going to rephrase that. This is something that I will tell you right now. I cannot predict if we're going to get there. I'm a little skeptical because there are so many issues that are in the way. And we haven't been right on so many other things over the years. Flying cars were predicted in books that I read that were written in the 40s. And we're still at the point where we don't have any practical flying cars. They're still in a lot of that dreamer phase still. I think there was a news item last year, I think I covered it, that was all about the first actual authorized test of a flying car that may hopefully in however long turn into a production model. You know, the one person in the car untethered in a moving from one airport, so it's almost an automated airplane at that point, to another airport. All right, so Let's get into the more fantastic idea of us being able to go to a moon base, to Mars, to wherever. And I want you to think about this for a few minutes here. Space travel is expensive. It is more than just the dollars. It's also in the amount of resources that are needed to get to space. And we don't have those. And the amount of people that are involved and the amount of everything all the way around. Look, I think of a car. We can build cheap cars. How much is a cheap car? Depending on what you consider a cheap car, a cheap new car can be like the Tata, made in India, and it is not exactly up to our standards here in the United States. And I think it runs right about $5,000. It works for the people in India. It works perfectly fine because a lot of people there drive motorcycles. So, you know, you can get one of those tuk-tuks. And I think the tuk-tuk in India is about $3,000, $4,000 in our money. But this is something that's very simple. We need, however, to translate that into a spacecraft that goes many thousands of miles per hour, whatever it is, depending on what we're trying to achieve, we're talking something that's going to eventually go something like 20,000 miles an hour in space, potentially that fast. And for many, many, many millions of miles, so they're large and complex to build these spacecraft, so therefore very expensive. Let's keep with that car approach and just think about what we need for fuel for our car. All right, if I want to drive across country and I want to go for a very long drive, fully across country, I think we're talking about a couple of hundred gallons, and you stop off, you fill up, and you go on off to the next gas station, however, you know, many hours later, and you keep going. So we can go, across a good amount of distance for a matter of a couple of hundred gallons. Okay, let's use this SpaceX Starship as an example of the fuel needs we need to get to space. And they're nothing like what you think of. There is a rough figure, a 20-to-1 ratio of fuel to product that you need to put into space. Think of it like this, 20-to-1 ratio of fuel. So for every pound you put into space, you need to put 20 pounds of fuel behind it. Okay, for us humans, that includes your weight, however much you weigh, your spacesuit, how much that weighs, everything that you're going to need to breathe. Yeah, let's think that through. Everything you need to breathe. So all of your food, all of the protection from radiation, all of the protection from meteorites and all of the stresses that are involved with going to space, everything, the computers, the guidance systems, the propulsion, and so forth. To launch, utilizing the SpaceX Starship as an example, to launch 100 tons to the International Space Station, it takes 20,000 tons of fuel. How much does the International or the SpaceX Starship have as a payload? Yes, 100 tons. So in summation, all of that, everything from you to the people putting you there. Remember, there's all of these people that are involved. You're not going to just like hop in this spaceship and just fly up there. No, you've got a lot of people that are monitoring you, that are going to check you out before you go up. Everybody's going to check you when you get back down. So we're talking the doctors. We're talking all of the people that are monitoring your health while you're up there. Okay, doctors, think about this. A doctor has to be monitoring your health the entire time you're in space. How much does that doctor cost on a full-time basis? Oh yeah, 24/7. So it's not just one doctor. It's a team of doctors monitoring you in space. And all of the fuel and all of your supplies, etc., for a handful of people to put you into space and everybody that's in the space, you know, in this SpaceX Starship, it's a $100 million jaunt. Okay, so we need really a lot of major advances in computing power, in fuel efficiency, in the capability of delivering us and everything that you can imagine before you and I can start thinking about the common man taking a jaunt off to the International Space Station, just that far. I mean, just Mars is, the moon is there, and maybe someday we might see a moon base in our lives. But Mars, as much as I admire the idea of Elon Musk moving forward with his ideas of going to Mars, there's so much that's in the way. Even if we were to bring the economy of scale, we were going to put enough people off into space that we could bring that back down, that entire cost, instead of $100 million, we were to reduce that to 1% of the cost. It's $1 million. $1 million. Now, it's $100 million for, you know, for the, whatever, just three people, four people. All right, so that's $25 million a piece. But we'd have to do so many different things to bring it down to $1 million. And how many of us, how many of you listening, how many, raise of hands, how many of you have $1 million just sitting in the bank ready for you to go, oh, hey, I'd like to go on up into a spaceship and see the sunrise every hour, every 90 minutes, whatever it is, all day, every day for a matter of a week. Yeah, that's kind of your space trip there. That's what you're going to be doing. That puts it out of reach for all but the very richest of people right now. We've got a lot to overcome before we get there. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You are listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. MicroCenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building it yourself, MicroCenter is your resource. Check out MicroCenter.com today. MicroCenter.com.
Website ComputerTalkRadio.com, ComputerTalkRadio.com. That's how you can reach out to us. Scroll down to where it says contact us today, and we will answer your computer questions. Keith M. Cedor joins me now. And Keith.
Benjamin.
You had something in mind you wanted to talk about.
I do. It's important. And it's important not because you and I don't already know as technical professionals, but I'm getting a lot of questions from my clients, the lay people, okay. the people who come to Computer Talk Radio for our technical expertise and mm-hmm. our yeah. decades and decades of experienced opinions. And the question I'm getting is, am I going to need to upgrade my iPhone this fall when iOS 18 comes out? And normally, you've got the next iteration, the next version of an OS that comes out the following year. And if your phone's, you know, within 5 years of the new operating system, it'll run, you know, fairly normally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That having been said, we are entering a new era. And it's funny because I get asked this question a lot. Is this an evolutionary change or a revolutionary change? And of course, we're talking about all of the new AI features that are going to be part of iOS 18. Apple's calling them Apple Intelligence. But the reality of it is that like any application, whether it's Final Cut Pro because you're doing a lot of video work, or Logic because you're doing a lot of audio work. You want to make sure you have a piece of hardware that is up to the task of the software needs.
You're
going to be doing. And so people are asking me, I'd like to try iOS 18. Do I need a new iPhone? Well, here's the thing. iOS 18, the outer framework, the same tools and features you have now, will work just fine on your iPhone going back the last couple of years. If you wish to use all of the new AI features that require a lot of extra processing power, because a lot of the stuff happens on the device, and that's how Apple is purporting to maintain a lot of privacy about this, is that when you make a request of Apple Intelligence, it's going to be doing all of this stuff on the device, not polling for it over the internet, that you are going to require a phone with more processing power. And a lot of people are really surprised that even if they bought an iPhone 15 in this current cycle, the iPhone 15 will not be up to the task. You need to be running an iPhone 15 Pro with the better processor, or better, the Pro Max, in order to take advantage of it. And because it's going to be the operating system that ships natively with the iPhone 16 in the fall. But really, you're going to, in the fall, there's going to be two groupings of phones, the iPhone 15 Pro series and whatever Apple offers under the iPhone 16 banner.
And I'll tell you, I struggle with this. I struggle deeply with this for a lot of people who don't have the budget to do a purchase out of band, like the 15s, the standard 15s,
right,
from this current cycle. Some people have come to rely on the ability to go 3 years or 4 years or 5 years. You went from the 10 to the 15. You went from the 6 to the 10. You know,
you remember that. That's
yeah,
good.
I'm impressed. Yeah. So the idea of forcing everybody on up versus finding a way around it. You know what? I wouldn't have a problem with, if you want it on phone, you want the AI feature on phone, then you've got to get the upgraded one. But you know what? To cover everybody who's got the older phones or the current cycle of phones, maybe do the cloud computing. Find a way to secure it properly.
Hang on. Let's not go down that avenue, because Apple's not going to change how they're doing this in the 11th hour. But let's think about it.
They could have thought about that up front.
They could have, but I think the whole idea of doing it on the phone was to, A, ensure the privacy of the secure enclave, and also to make it a lot faster, because if you don't have a fast enough internet connection, that could slow the response time down of the AI answer. But what if Apple, in conjunction with the phone companies, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, et cetera, what if they go back to a new every two program like they started with in the late 2000s when the iPhones first came out? You know, they were out there going, oh, new every two. And because I was replacing my phone every other year until they stopped those subsidies.
I would still struggle with it because so many people out there budget based off of, I'm going to buy a new phone in 2 years. I'm going to buy a new phone in 3 years. And we're starting to move up the cycle again, so that they're trying to drive a cycle where we have to update every year. They're trying to build that right now. And I bet you the following iOS 19 is going to drive more items, because they're going to see all of the big, huge purchases they get.
Well, hang on a second, Benjamin. I think this also speaks to how well you and I both know each other, because you knew my upgrade cycle. But would your feelings on this topic have anything at all to do with you being gun shy, having been burned, 6 months after the iPad 3 came out, with the iPad 4 came out, and they wouldn't take it back and swap it out for you? Because it was really close for you. And
that's it was three days. But
yeah.
No, I would have this problem if this were Microsoft, if this were Dell, if this were anybody else, too. This is not treating your customer properly. And it doesn't matter who's treating the customer. It matters who the customer is. And that's something that a lot of people are forgetting.
We should delve deeper into this in future episodes, Benjamin.
Yeah.
I think it's important to get through this conversation.
But yeah, we'll come up with something different next week, but in the following few weeks, we'll revisit this again. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell.
And I'm Keith M. Cedor.
You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hi, this is Benjamin Rockwell. Most of us use digital cameras nowadays, but what do we do with those old pictures and slides in the back of the closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. If you have boxes of old slides, then you know they fade more and more each year. Let Legacy Digital scan them for you and stop the aging process dead in its tracks. You'll get beautiful 10-megapixel digital files, color-corrected and ready for printing. All this is done faster and cheaper than buying a film scanner and doing it yourself. Your files are then burned onto gold archival DVD discs where they will last for generations. Call right now, mention my name, Benjamin Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY. And tell them Benjamin sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
The website computertalkradio.com, computertalkradio.com. Marty Winston joins me now, and Marty, you're sharpening your knives for this?
Well, somebody's got to do it, because I tell you, we've got knives that'll bounce off a tomato skin.
All right.
Remember how many knife sharpeners we've reviewed here. Most of them electric, one way or another.
Yeah.
Little spoiler, HORL, the Horl 2, just may be the easiest, cleverest, and most effective sharpeners ever.
Okay, I've never heard of these guys.
Well, no, and that's why I thought, hey, we got to talk about them. They don't use any power other than your own.
Okay.
Details are ahead. I do want to say my only hesitation about diving into their sharpener more quickly was based on my own personal ignorance.
Okay.
Typically, what blade angle do I want to treat?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They have two available. It depends on which side of the, well, I'll get into it. The choices are 15 degrees or 20 degrees, and certain kind of knives favor one or another, and none of us know for sure.
Mm-hmm,
so they told me that 15 degrees is for finer knives, like Japanese sushi knives, and 20 degrees for sturdier and more everyday knives. Now,
you know, that's interesting, because I've always wondered on this kind of stuff. Okay, so let's take a quick detour here. My wife, she's the one in our family who's completely into knives. She sharpens all of my knives. I just carry them. I love my knives. I love having knives around. I love having them sharp. But I have no clue on this as well. So yeah, my wife would probably, if she was in here, she'd be like, oh, yeah, use 20 degrees for that one. Yeah, okay.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I chose a big, very long black chef's knife.
Okay, yeah.
We used it a lot in cooking. It was my first outing was with that knife, and I almost had to flip a coin. 15 degrees, 20 degrees.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I went with 15.
Okay, now, yeah.
Here's all of everything that meant. The Horl 2 comes with a little wooden block with magnets in it.
Okay.
You put the knife on the magnet and it holds it at the right angle. Following it?
Yeah, yeah.
One side 15, one side 20. The Horal 2 sharpener itself is like a cylinder, the kind of like an elongated wheel.
Okay.
It's got rubber rings on it. Works as a roller. One end of it is diamond dust grinding circle. The other side of it has a ceramic honing disc.
Okay, all right.
So with this thing clamped to the block, I hold the block. I roll the cylinder back and forth a few times. In a minute, sharpening done is done on that side. I turn it around and do the other side.
Okay.
It is that easy. And the magnet on the block never let go. It was really cool. So the block holds the knife blade up on the table. The roller back and forth for a few minutes if you really want to be intense about it.
Like a kid with a Hot Wheel car.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, all right.
Grind it and then you hone it.
Mm-hmm.
Turn it around. I wiped it off because I thought I was being thorough, right? So here I am with the knife. I just ran this little thing on. Did I help it or ruin it? I found out the next night when my wife told me the salmon had become much easier to cut and trim.
Very nice. Okay. Yeah.
So that cost me a sharpener. It's hers now. Part of the kitchen gear, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Now you can get your own Horal 2, H-O-R-L-2. I'm seeing them for about $190 on Amazon.
Okay.
Which is a lot cheaper than replacing all those fancy but dulled knives that are in your kitchen.
So I looked this up. I mean, we're talking about they've engineered this in Germany. So this is that's one of the things that my wife really really into a lot of the knives that are from Germany. It's I have no idea. It's like watches from Switzerland, knives from Germany, and my car is from it's a BMW Bavarian Motorworks or whatever it is.
I know Bavaria very well. I have her in the hat hand and.
Okay. This is something to definitely look into. Yeah.
You know,
this is really important because, I'm going to throw that nerd aspect to all of this, of course, which is key because we are Computer Talk Radio.
I thought so.
You thought so. One of the key things for me and every nerd I know, we all carry a variety of pocket knives and pocket
EDCs, man, our everyday carry.
You have to have a sharp blade.
Unless you're going to the airport.
Yes. In which case, checked luggage, very important. I've only lost... I did lose a knife to TSA.
So did I. It was a time when I had just reviewed 30 knives and I had them all, and I just chose one to take with me that day.
Oh wow! So yeah,
oops. I didn't miss it.
Yeah. No, I lost a $60-$70 Leatherman to them. I was a bit heartbroken, but.
You'd be heartbroken again to know you could have sharpened it on a Horal too.
Yeah, there you go. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Marty Winston. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and just a normal person. Recently, though, it was clear to me that it was time to upgrade. But I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After searching around for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround. In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their willingness to do things the right way. The SiteGround salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when a 32-ounce soda would do. These guys know WordPress, Joomla, and regular standard websites. These guys at SiteGround are awesome. siteground.com. Site, S-I-T-E, ground.com. Bad guys are out to get us. They're out to get you, me, and everybody they can. One of the newer items, it's actually been around for a while. It's the safe bank account scam. And this is where the bad guys, the cyber criminals, will contact you. They already know that you are a victim of online fraud. And they'll reach out. They'll reach out again. And through this, they pretend that they are law enforcement or they're the security team of your bank or whatever it is. They know that they've already tricked you once. So they know that you've been a victim. And now they've got a new idea. This idea is that we're going to protect you. We're going to go through and we're going to have you transfer your money into a quote-unquote safe bank account. It's safe because the bad guys will no longer have access to it. They may even paint some very dire circumstances where, okay, they took money out of your account. Now you need to secure it. You need to hide it away. And look, the idea is good, but you don't want to do this over the phone, over email, over any kind of these contacts. I mean, yes, the idea is, yes, you do go through and you change your credit card accounts, and maybe you shift your money from your old account into a new account at your same bank, and you make them aware at the bank. You go in person to do this, and this is presented. They're saying that this is going to be a safe bank account. It's actually their own bank account. Look, the law enforcement agencies out there, they're not going to reach out to you. Law enforcement agencies are overburdened with all of the different scams out there. And while they will track the information, while they will keep it on hand, they're not going to get involved with moving your money. Your bank isn't going to do it either. They're not going to reach out and say, oh, yeah, hey, we got to move it off to a different location. They'll give you, if you were actually dealing direct with the bank, they'll give you that option, perhaps. They'll allow you to do this. They'll help you all the way throughout with whatever it is that we come up with to stop those hackers from further victimizing you. Look, yes, this whole save a bank account scam has been around for a while, and they've even used this by itself. They've used this a number of times to, yes, get a hold of your current information. Hi, I'm calling from Bank of America, and I'd love to help you protect your money by moving it into a different account. Look, this is a scam. If you did not initiate this, if you did not go through this on your own, someone is pulling the wool over your eyes. Look, the bad guys, they've got all kinds of different tricks of their own trade that they're looking to leverage against you. Don't give in to them. Treat every contact that you get with a certain level of trepidation, a certain level of concern and wariness. That's the only way we're going to be able to beat these guys. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about The Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio. So I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country. But many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows The Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with TheRadioFactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, the Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. TheRadioFactory.com.
Your mouse is dead, and the computer is on life support. Benjamin Rockwell can help with that. Translating technobabble to English, your translation expert, Benjamin Rockwell, is here with Computer Talk Radio.
We are halfway through this week's Computer Talk Radio. The website, of course, is computertalkradio.com. We weren't very original about that. We just chose the same name for the show and for the website. So computertalkradio.com. Of course, the phone number, 888-NERD-888. That's 888-637-3888. We are radio's broadest look at computers and technology. And, of course, how they impact all of us. Steve Kesky joins me now. And Steve, you said you were catching something in regards to a lot of this cyber warfare that's going on these days. A lot of it's shifted towards attacking businesses and government and also the medical sector too. I guess call that kind of in between. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, it's. If they can figure out how to, shall we say, invade a country before they put boots on the ground, as they used to say.
Yeah.
Do so. And now what they're trying to develop and have, and I'm talking about all countries, what they call cyber warfare, which means getting that internet to do your dirty work for you before you get to actually invading. Do you want to do things like, take down their power grid? Why? Because if you take down their power grid, they have no power. And if they have no power, no refrigerators, no microwaves, no telephones, no a lot of other things.
Yeah, there's a lot to this, and there's a very interesting shift that we've been seeing. We just recently, I think it was earlier this year, we saw the first major attack, which actually crippled a water facility. From memory, I think it was in Texas. But we're starting to see a lot of these different attacks that are actually moving away from ransomware, which was the big thing, make a lot of money and so forth. But now back again to what appear to be state-sponsored testing of how the bad guys, can take down the opposition's critical infrastructure.
That's right. And if you can take down their water supply, their power supply, if you can do that, well, guess what? Nobody can get any gas if they have no power.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And you can't get anything out of the pumps.
Yeah.
And
so a matter of, I mean, so your gas powered vehicles, those are out. Of course, without power also are the electric vehicles.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be, you know, sitting by the side of the road. Yeah.
200 miles out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Because your power ran out.
Yeah.
That kind of really, if you can take out the communications as well, not only, well, a lot of people don't have landlines anymore, but, you know. But other countries do. But if you can take out their cell phone companies and you can take out all of those items. Nobody can communicate with anybody. And that includes government members.
Yeah. Communication. I mean, you know, we're hitting on some of the top items. You know, we're talking about power. We're talking about water. We're talking about communications. Mm-hmm. Sure, you may have a house, but if you can't have electricity or power or contact anybody about that, that is crippling on a civilian infrastructure. All of the civilian populace.
Oh, yeah. So, and if you have no power, guess what? Whatever you have stockpiled in your house or have in your house, it's going to last you probably about a week. Then when you try to go to the store, if the power's not back on, guess what? You're going to be out of luck.
Yeah, there's a lot of science fiction stories that, well, I don't know, is it science fiction or is it prepper fiction? But the talk about is something like an EMP. Sometimes it's delivered via nuclear power, nuclear burst, rather.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the Russians, and sometimes it's the sun delivering this. We talked about that kind of recently in regards to the Carrington event from the 1850s, but also our recent aurora coming on down. There's a lot of different things, but you know what? If somebody can spark that off, if somebody can do that as far as a hacker, we're going to be in a world of hurt, because once they connect up again, we fixed it. We rebooted our power system. We rebooted our water delivery system. Whatever it is. Well, it doesn't take long before, somebody comes in and hacks it again.
Yeah. If you haven't fixed the problem in the first place.
Yeah. Well,
And again, we talk about, who's using it now and where? A few years ago, the Russians decided to take over the Crimea in their clandestine way. And they figured out that by going back and looking at what happened on the ground, that a certain amount of cyber warfare took place prior to them actually going in and taking over the Crimea.
Yeah. And we are actually right now, we're in the middle of what is being called the first war that has both sides have a cyber warfare component, that being between Israel and Palestine.
Yep.
And it's only going to progress from there as we start to see all of the different state actors start diving in and leveraging whatever they can to either attack or defend themselves.
Absolutely true. And we do have our own defense against cyber warfare going on in this country.
Cyber defense
the average person has no idea what our government's doing to defend ourselves from cyber warfare.
Sure, yeah. It's going to be very interesting, and we're touching on a number of different topics, and this is an area where there's a lot actually that we don't know.
Yep.
We don't know what our country's doing. We don't know what other foreign countries are doing. We get little bits and pieces, and there's a lot of suspicion that goes back and forth. We think this particular action here was caused by these folks over here. And then we don't hear a whole lot, no confirmations,
no
idea as to if it was, organized crime or, again, like state actors, which I've already mentioned before. So,
what state, federal, whatever, is going to admit that they attack somebody using cyber warfare? You don't do that. You never admit it.
Oddly enough, we go back to 2002, 2003, when was it Iraq, Iran, whichever one, they had the centrifuges.
Yeah.
And there was a specific malware that was sent to cripple those centrifuges.
Yep.
And it didn't do much of anything other than travel and try to find those centrifuges. And I believe that the United States admitted to doing that after the fact.
Well, what they did was they couldn't, Iran was never on the internet as far as these atomic stuff is concerned. So how do you get malware on their computer systems? Well, you give them a whole bunch of these thumb drives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that's got the malware on it, even though it looks innocent enough with nothing on it.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah.
And all it did, the malware, all that did was tell the technician, oh, the centrifuge is running too slow.
Yeah.
And then they would speed it up.
Yeah.
And the more they speeded it up, the worse it got until the whole system collapsed.
Yeah. The other thing on that, I recall it was 3.5-inch floppy disks was how it actually hit them. But
yeah.
it was designed to travel, through any kind of removable media. Just interesting stuff. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell, and that's Steve Keske. You are listening to Computer Talk Radio. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You have a couple of those new carbon open frame racks from CyberPower, right?
Yeah, I love them. I configured a 25U to 40 inches deep, about twice as deep as a regular rack, and put more than a dozen peripherals in it.
You know, I saw your article about it. I can't believe it's not clutter.
And my 45U carbon rack, that's also 40 inches deep, will hold a ton of networking and control systems, the network video recorder.
Holy screwdriver, Rackman!
You're getting one of their gorgeous enclosed racks soon.
Oh yeah, the 24U. Bigger than their wall-mount carbon racks, but smaller than their tall boy.
Did you see what's happening with carbon on the CyberPower website?
Oh yeah, the promo, 10% off all their racks and rack accessories through the end of September. I put a link up at computertalkradio.com. ComputerTalkRadio.com. Christopher reached out to me with a question, and it's a very good question. You can reach out to me with your questions at ComputerTalkRadio.com. In Christopher's case, what are some tech items that are cutting edge that I should look into to learn to go to the next level? And I could opine on this for a good long time. I'm going to narrow this down into three separate items, which are a little bit different in that all of the different things you're going to learn along the way can be catered to professional applications, but can also help you with your personal growth. The first one, this is a good one for people who are they're 3D oriented, and it's 3D printing. But there's a lot to this world of 3D printing. We used to just refer to it as additive manufacturing or 3D printing. This is all of these 3D printers that you can get out there. And there's a lot that goes around building something. This is getting into the maker space. Now, we have the 3D printing, the additive manufacturing, but we also have the subtractive manufacturing. This is your various CNC milling machines, and this is this goes down the road of milling into an existing material like metal or plastic, acrylics, wood, things like that. Either approach is going to leverage a lot of the skills that you may have. If you are, again, you've got to be 3D oriented, you've got to be able to visualize what you want to build. And then you have to go through the various computer commands that are required to build it. Now, there's a lot of different programs along the way that will help you out with this. So there's Tinkercad, Infusion 360. Both of these are great programs that will start you on the path. And you can dive into these. You don't actually have to have a 3D printer to start down this road. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of places where you go and you develop your design, and you can still send that design to somebody who has a 3D printer or one of these subtractive, one of these various cutters that will cut into the material, and they will provide you with, essentially, after you go through the hoops, of the finished product. Now, a lot of this is done to do prototyping, and prototyping is a big thing around the world as we start to look at different things that we wish to build. The people who are CAD engineers, the people who are going forward and building different, whatever it is, holders, different mechanical items, whether it's like gears and things like that, whatever it is that you're your mind can imagine, and you are converting what is your idea into the computer, and then you're leveraging that to the next level by printing it out. And again, printing can be in that we add various bits and pieces of plastic, little melted dots, if you will, or streams of plastic to slowly build up the layers that make your finished product. Or breaking down that first one is the additive. The subtractive is, again, you take a piece of wood and you form a piece of art out of it. So that is one area, and that's very tech-oriented these days. The next item is quite a bit different, and that is looking into things like a NAS device, network-attached storage. As a matter of fact, in the coming months, I'm going to be talking about network-attached storage, so you can tune in here. In the past, I've talked about the 3D printing, but the network-attached storage is a big thing because you're taking all of the data that's on your computer, your current data that's there, and you're putting it onto a hard drive where all of the computers within the household and also the smartphones and all of these different things that you connect up to your network, they have one place where they can all reside, one hard drive. But it's more than that, because along the way, you learn a number of different things. One of the things you're going to learn about is networking. You're going to understand at the end of that a lot of the different interactions between the different computers and the network-attached storage device, the hard drive that's out on your network. But also, you start learning about different things you can put out there. Some of the different NAS devices allow you to actually put little programs that are available out there, put them onto your NAS device, and that provides a lot of different new ideas on how you can run your network. On top of this, you have rights issues that are going to come into play, and all of these different things. Okay, I'm going to allow my wife and I, in this case, Christopher and his spouse, and they're going to access some of the different things like taxes. And little Timmy, he's going to be able to access a number of other things. And little Susie, she's going to be able to access different things as well. And you learn all of this different stuff. You don't just give everybody full access to everything. Like, you don't want the kids messing with the taxes. At the same time, do you have any interest in watching movies, the various Disney movies, apart from your kids? No. So there's a lot to that. There's also something called Plex, which allows you to put the movies out onto your network. And then you can stream those movies, not from Netflix, but you basically store your DVDs on the hard drive, and those DVDs then get translated into your television, and it's a beautiful prospect. The last item is computer programming. Computer programming in itself, computer coding is another term that we use for this, and this is used everywhere. This is used for websites, for programs, even just learning some of the automation techniques that are available to us through macros that are available in things like Excel and Word and so forth. All of these different approaches to programming, basically finding out something you want to do that nobody else has done, and you set this all up. Or maybe somebody's already done some of the work, but you want to customize it. You want it to work the way you want it to react. So there's a lot of different things that go along with coding. I've delved deep into the 3D printing space. the additive manufacturing. And I found a lot of joy and reward in that. And I found that I was able to do a number of different things, provide a number of different designs that matched my needs. They allowed me to do things that I could not have gone on out and purchased elsewhere. And yes, with the 3D printing or also the various milling options, you can break the big, huge brick or whatever it is that you've got of material, and you can break it down into something you like. The NAS storage, I'm looking into that, but the coding, I've done coding across most of my career, and I've done a number of different programs that were very specialized, very unique to the demands and needs of the company I was working for. So whether we're talking about, again, those macros or direct coding through any of the different languages that are out there, and there's a ton of languages you can learn, but you want to start with the basics. You want to start with at least one program there, and you want to go in that direction, and you want to learn the idea of coding. The neat thing is, once you learn one language and the idea of coding, all of that then gets to be spread out across a lot of other languages. There's a lot of similarity in how we build programs. There's a lot of different things that, okay, if you know this language, you know, the next language over is 75-85% the same. So you do a lot of the same things. You might tweak a couple of different things, like you put a formula so that it's built just a slightly different way. You move things around, but it still works the same way. There's a lot of different things. Look, I encourage everyone to go on out and to learn whatever they can to expand their knowledge. This is just some ideas, and there's so many different ones. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. MicroCenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building it yourself, MicroCenter is your resource. Check out MicroCenter.com today. MicroCenter.com.
Christopher wanted to know about extended warranty plans. I'll get to that in just a moment. To the website, of course, ComputerTalkRadio.com. ComputerTalkRadio.com. That's how you can reach out. Scroll down to where it says contact us today. I will get back with you. Christopher asked, I hate that everybody asks if I want one, but tell the truth. Are extended warranty plans worth it? Wow. Yeah. I go into places and I will buy things, and they will offer some extended warranty plans on some of the strangest items. Like, this has no power to it. Why do you think I need an extended warranty plan on what was it? There was something the other day. I think it was a plant. I was buying a plant for my wife, and they went, do you want an extended warranty? Oh, believe me, she can kill it off right away. I don't think you're going to cover it. But look, it is really hard for us to go on out and for us to buy anything without being offered an extended warranty plan for whatever it is. And you can be shopping online. I know that every time I go on and I start buying anything that has any expense to it, on Amazon or Lowe's or Home Depot or whatever it is. I'm shopping online and I'm putting something into my cart. Oh, hey, do you want a coverage for this? And they'll promise you that for a few extra bucks, they'll repair or replace your item if it's damaged over the course of the next whatever it is time period. The issue here is many of these offers are almost, it's almost always they're unnecessary or worse than what you could get otherwise with a little savvy shopping. In many of these cases, this extended warranty runs right alongside whatever existing manufacturer's warranty that might be there, which means you may be paying twice for coverage for whatever it is you're buying. Think of it. Okay, you know, all right, it's weird. I am wearing a belt right now. It lasts 100 years. That is the manufacturer warranty. Why would I pay? That was a big selling point for it. But when I bought it off of Amazon, they said, hey, do you want a 5-year warranty for that belt? What? No, they've got a 100-year warranty from the manufacturer that'll cover everything. So why would I pay for that? All right, you may be paying twice for coverage for whatever it is you're buying, an iPhone. Okay, you buy an iPhone, you're going to pay coverage twice. Okay, there are certain limitations on those warranties, and you need to understand those warranties if you're buying something. Also, if you're utilizing a credit card, credit cards have an extended protection across a number of them. You may have extended warranty protection through whatever it is you're buying. So you need to know, you contact your bank. You go, what is my warranty coverage here? What additional coverage do I have there? Whoever it is that's handling your credit card. Now, there are a couple of situations. But no, I'm going to go further first. You also need to compare up. Let me go down this road, and then I'll go off to that side road that I was talking about. You need to think about how much the extended warranty costs versus the total actual dollar volume of the gadget you're buying. You may be better off taking the money you would have used on any warranty plan. You put it into your savings account as a rainy day fund. You can actually utilize as an extended savings. Hey, you know, I'm not going to buy that $30 warranty. I'm going to put that $30 into savings. The neat thing is that $30 in savings over the course of 10 items, that's $300. We start looking at, hey, I'm already saving a lot of money. I'm not putting it into those warranties. I am self-funding my own warranty plan. That's a good step. That's already in a great direction right there. So you put it aside. Then over the course of time, you're saving money. But if you decide you want to upgrade later, you need a repair or replacement, you're utilizing your own cash. I will tell you, the warranty companies exist for a reason. It is not to protect you. It's for them to make what? Oh, money, profit. Yes, that's right. There are exceptions. There are a few exceptions that I will dive into, and these are few and far between. First off, there are special plans. AppleCare is kind of a famous one for this, and that is it covers everything. AppleCare, there are some minor nuances here. But with AppleCare, it is going to cover everything that's going to happen to your Apple device. And over the course of time, it gets a little tricky. It's something that you pay for on a monthly basis. You can pay a flat upfront fee for 2 years, or you can do the monthly fee. Go for the monthly fee. That is where it's going to pay for itself, because most of their devices are going to last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. It's that sixth year that we're starting to be concerned about. But if you're still covering it under that warranty, they're going to say, well, we no longer have that product. So, oh, well, we're going to give you an updated version of that product. That's a good thing. And that's, you know, I'm giving you that information because if Keith were here, he'd be saying the same thing. Same kind of thing. Don't go after these warranties, these partial warranties to extend coverage on your car, for instance. But if you've got a bumper to bumper, it's an exclusionary warranty, I think is the term that they use, where they only list what is excluded. And the exclusions are things like, okay, it doesn't cover oil, it doesn't cover gas, it doesn't cover your tires or scratches on the car, but it covers everything else. I'll tell you, I had one of the other warranties. It was supposed to be a top-notch warranty, but it wasn't the exclusionary. And I went in, I took my car in, and it was a piece that if it failed, the car would not drive, period. Boom. And I had to argue with them. I had to jump through hoops because I said, look, that warranty is supposed to cover the functionality of this car. The car is not functional. So you got two choices. You can fix it, or you can offer me full price for it. They fixed it. And, you know, that's how you have to do it. Go for that exclusionary warranty, which just covers everything. But those are the two exceptions that I can think of. There's maybe a little bit more here and there. But otherwise, most of the extended warranty plans just aren't really as up to snuff as you would probably like them to be. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hey guys, this is Benny Rockwell. Most of us use video cameras nowadays, but what about those old movie films in the back of your closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. Imagine Grandpa's old 8mm and 16mm films that are just sitting in a box getting old and fading away. Legacy Digital will clean and recondition those films, capture them digitally frame by frame, and then produce beautiful DVDs of your precious memories on long-lasting archive-quality discs. They don't use a projector, and your films can't be damaged in the process, the best available for families like yours. The final results are gorgeous. What better way to preserve those precious memories for future generations? Call right now, mention my name, Benny Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY, 1-866-253-4229. And tell them Benny sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
This is Benjamin Rockwell, and now it's time to get down to business. This is where, yes, I talk about computers, technology, and the workplace. And I wanted to take you on a journey through the life of an information technology professional. That would be me. And how did I get here? How did everything evolve over the years? Of course, I started early on just tinkering with computers. I was definitely interested in them in the early 80s when I had my first computer. And I went to a school, a private school, which happened to have computers around. That we had a very nice computer lab. We learned on, you may not have heard of these, Commodore PETs and the old Apple II series were very prevalent throughout the school. And then later on, I started into sales in the late 80s. Now, all of this was in the days of the early adopters. This was when people that were buying computers were the tinkerers, the hackers. These were the people who were very, very experimental with computers. They were learning a lot of different things about technology and adopting it. So if somebody ran into a problem, they looked for ways to move through, to move around, and to overcome. And I'm taking that's one of the big military sayings, move through, around, and overcome. All right. So I was actually one of those. I was looking into a lot of different things with computers, and every time I stumbled into a problem, I did my best to solve it on my own. And that included, I ran a bulletin board service. This was in the days before the internet as we know it. This was in a time and day when, yes, people would dial up their modems and talk to from their computer to another computer over the phone lines. It wasn't until the late 90s when we had broadband. But then I get out of my whole journey here. So I became a field tech in 1991. I was applying what I learned to fix the problems in businesses and coming alongside people who were denying that they were nerds, but they still were, just sometimes in over their heads, and they needed a very quick exit from their problems. A few years later, I worked for a few different companies that were innovators. Now, at this point, they had ideas that computers would take their businesses to the next level. They knew that they had to get on board or get left behind. And I moved them forward. Each of the different companies that I did tech for, I made sure that they were part of the new information age that was coming. I built a website. Actually, I built a couple of websites that were among the first 100,000. And when you consider today that it's near 2 billion websites, that's a huge jump. Now, moving on, I later worked with the early majority. Now, this was still tech support, but it started to move away from what the computer was doing wrong to what the person was doing wrong. There was plenty of tech side support, but not quite what people imagine. It started to evolve into a world of knowing and learning what people changed, what they mistook as a proper path, and then guiding them. It wasn't about the tech, increasingly over the years, but about the people. Today, I leverage all of that knowledge from all the way along the way. And today, it's about knowing these changes and educating people about how to take the proper roads in tech. Yes, there are plenty of people who are in those different levels behind me that I've already mentioned. But today, a lot of my approach is about being a leader rather than chasing problems. I seek to find ways to stop these problems from happening in the first place. It's no longer about making computers do what nobody expected out of them. And yes, there are people who do that. But today, a lot of what I do is helping people to understand how to integrate the power of computing and technology that is all around us and integrating that all into our lives. So yes, today, I also, having seen so many of these different things along the way, I will take a lot of approach of guiding people away from the edge of saying certain things or certain people are moving too fast. I think of that in the world of artificial intelligence, which is, again, artificial and not so intelligent. But all of this is in part recognizing that you can't go from walking in a bicycle with training wheels and moving from there, skipping a lot of the different things in between, and then moving straight into a rocket-powered motorcycle built for extreme drag racing without knowing the implications. Yes, I want to encourage everybody to continue to learn technology, to leverage everything that comes our way. But as I am very cynical about artificial intelligence, all of this different AI stuff, which is, it's just a fancy name for explaining stuff that we don't understand. I want all of us to recognize that there is a journey for each of us. Just as I've had my journey of learning technology and guiding people through technology, getting from way back when to now, you also, every one of you, needs to take a very similar learning path, going from, yes, an early adopter to something that we may not even have imagined. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and, well, a normal person. Recently, though, it became clear to me that it was time to upgrade. I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After looking for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround. In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their care, their willingness to do things the right way. The SiteGround salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when all I needed was a 1-gallon bucket. The folks at SiteGround know WordPress, Joomla, and more. SiteGround.com, S-I-T-E, ground.com for your web hosting needs. SiteGround. I have been on a quest to really straighten up my office. I have all kinds of different things going on in my office at any given point in time. I have items in for review. I have items that are strewn about that have found their way into my realm, and items that somehow never made it out to the dumpster. In this case, I have a ton of cables that are on my desk, and I wanted to review an item that is actually really starting to just make things gel as far as the cables that are going across my desk. I mean, I want you to think about this. How many iPhone cords, USB-C, USB micro, and everything else that's going on do you think I have? I have more than that. I have a lot more than that. And I came across this item called the Cord Brick. And they have a little they've got a little smaller version of it called the let's see here. Actually, the Desk Brick is the big one. The Cord Brick is the small one. And these are really amazing little items. It's actually funny how simple they are, but yet how absolutely important they are. So let's talk about, first off, the Desk Brick. This is a unit that is, I don't know, it's like the size of a 3x5 card, except that 3x5 card is about an inch thick. It's rubberized, and it has a steel weight in it. So you can run through a matter of, what is this, about 8 different cords through the top. You can also run them through the side. And this just starts to really organize all of the cords that I've got going on. This is absolutely an amazing item. And I was looking and I was thinking, it's going to be all right. This is great. It's absolutely amazing because these cords stick in here and there's just enough room so that they can slide back and forth through there so that they're organized and then you just pull them through when you need to utilize the specific cord rather than chasing down. Okay, I have for a long time now, a couple of years at this desk, I have had to reach on down and go, okay, which of these, 5 cords do I want? And I pull them all on up and realize that a couple of them are plugged in and that just starts to send it all downhill rather quickly. I then find the right cord, plug it in. No, now it's all organized. It's in a nice spot. You can utilize this a few different ways to stand up phones. You can also put your pens in it and stuff like that. The Cord Brick is really neat too. It does the same kind of thing on a smaller scale. It handles just 4 of these cords and it has a couple of different little setups for the larger cords and so forth. But you can also wrap cords with this. Like if you're putting a bunch of cords inside of a backpack or something like that. Cordbrick.com is where you can check these out. Again, the Cord Brick and the Desk Brick. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. We'll catch you next week.
Let me tell you about The Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio. So I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country. But many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows The Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with theradiofactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, the Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. Theradiofactory.com.